The Blog of Eugenia H. Watson, Scared Pantsless, November 3rd. I'm writing this entry on my tablet from some room inside one of my crosshouses. I don't know where. Somewhere near Hull, I think. The car that brought us here had blacked out windows. Mum is pacing back and forth. She keeps looking at the windows. They're covered with heavy curtains, and she wants to look outside, I can tell. But we were told not to do that, and she's trying to do as she's told. I'm really scared. Today started normally. It's Friday, and I was looking forward to the weekend. Girls only. Dad was dragging Sherlock out of town for a mini break. I teased him about wanting a romantic getaway, and he blushed and fidgeted in a way that let me know that's exactly what he was hoping for. So, it was just going to be me and Mum. Aunt Adele was going to come over tomorrow and take us to some fabulous runway show full of designers and celebrities. I was hoping for Keira Knightley because I would so go gay for her. And then we were going to have a posh dinner and go to the cinema. I guess that's all off now. I got home at the usual time. Dad and Sherlock were gone. I went over to Zach's for a while and played Sims. And by the time I got home, Mum was there. She said that Nana P had invited us over for dinner, which is fantastic because it means I get to play with Nana and Grandpa's dogs. I was going upstairs to get my jumper when my mobile went off. Text message. I heard Mum's go off at the same time. I thumbed open the message and saw one word. Achilles. I just stared at it for a second. Genie? I heard Mum shout. That broke my paralysis. Yeah, Mum, I see it. Get your bag. Now. I heard her running footsteps going to her own room. I ran to my cupboard and dug in the back for the bag I'd kept packed there, as per instructions. It has two changes of clothes, basic toiletries, a bare-bones tablet computer, a burner mobile, and, because it's me, a travel chess set. I found it and tossed it over my shoulder, jammed my feet into shoes, and ran downstairs. Mum was waiting for me in the lounge. Come on, come on, she said, motioning to me. We ran down the steps, and Mum opened the front door. There was a large man standing there. My heart crammed itself into my throat. Oh God, we weren't fast enough, I thought. But then he spoke. Ask me a question, he said. I didn't know what he was talking about, but Mum seemed to. She thought for a second. What is our daughter's middle name? The man cocked his head. I realized that he was listening to an earpiece. He says it's Holmes. Mum nodded. All right. The man stood aside, and we got into the back seat of a black car with darkened windows. Mum pulled me close and hugged me tight as we drove away. I didn't ask questions. I didn't have to. This is the downside of being part of a family that includes the world's only consulting detective. That word, Achilles, it's a code word. Mycroft's idea. It means that me and Mum need to get somewhere safe, because somebody is threatening us, or more likely me, to try and strong-arm Dad or Sherlock. That probably sounds super dramatic. I guess it is. But Dad and Sherlock, well, they seem ordinary to me, and most of the time life is just mundane. But every so often, they tangle with people who are hardcore. People who'd kill them. People who'd kill us just to hurt them. If the word goes out, then we get taken to a safe place. That way, Dad and Sherlock can do what they have to do without worrying about me and Mum being hurt or kidnapped or something. What no one mentions is that they still have to worry about each other. And God knows the quickest way to get Sherlock in a bad spot would be to hurt Dad, or threaten to. It'd also be the quickest way to earn his undying wrath. Sherlock doesn't get really mad very often. When he does, I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of it. I've no doubt that anybody who dared hurt Dad would find themselves well and truly fucked over a dozen different ways from Sunday. I guess some people would think that I must live my life in a state of paralyzing fear that somebody might kidnap me to get at my dad's. Funny thing is that while I have my anxious moments, you just can't exist in that state all the time. And oddly, knowing about these precautions makes me feel safer. There's always danger in the world. At least mine has a contingency plan. I've known about the word for as long as I can remember. I can't remember it ever going out before. Mum says it happened one other time, when I was like 4 or something. I asked Sherlock once if he had many enemies who could make things bad enough that we'd need the word. None, he said. I've dealt with all the ones who matter. The way he said that was a bit ominous. I didn't ask any follow-ups. But the word had now gone out. Something was wrong. "Dad and Sherlock didn't go on a mini-break, did they?" I finally asked. Mum sighed. "Well, it started out that way. Is Dad okay?" "I'm sure he's fine, sweetheart. Your dad is much tougher than he looks." "I know, but..." "Shh. Jeannie, everything's going to be okay. We're going someplace safe, and Dad and Sherlock will meet us there as soon as they can." She hugged me tighter. We got here, wherever here is, and were hurried inside and upstairs to a big bedroom suite with two big beds and a tally and a little kitchen in the corner. It's quite posh, really. Then the waiting started. Mycroft showed up before too long. He barely got in the door before we were both on him. "Where's my dad? And Sherlock?" I demanded. Mum was asking him pretty much the same questions. He said, putting up his hands. "I've just come to see about your accommodations. Are you comfortable?" "I'll not be comfortable until I know what's going on," Mum said. She was completely calm. I envied her that, because I felt like I was about to jump out of my skin. "I'm afraid I've little information to give you," Mycroft said. "You mean little that you're willing to give us?" "All I know is that I received a message from John asking me to send the word. He stayed in touch long enough for you to verify your transport, then he signed off. I've no idea where he and Sherlock are right now." "You're asking me to believe that you don't have complete knowledge of your own brother's whereabouts at all times?" Mum said. "Honestly, it doesn't much matter if you believe it or not, Grace. Measures are being taken to ensure your safety and Jeannie's. My brother will deal with whatever difficulties have arisen on his own. If he requires my assistance, he will have it." Mum pulled me in front of her and wrapped her arms around my shoulders from behind. "Well, I appreciate the security for Jeannie. If you have contact with John, please tell him that we are fine and he mustn't worry about us." "I don't think any power on earth could stop him from worrying," Mycroft said. "But I'll relay the message." He swooped out. I relaxed a little. "I know he's Sherlock's brother," I said. "But is it bad if that guy gives me the creeps?" Mum laughed. "It's not bad, honey. I think he means to. He's not a bad man, just pragmatic." I hung on to her arms where they were around my shoulders. "Mum, is Dad all right? What if he's..." "Shh," she said, turning me about. I was getting a bit emotional, I don't mind confessing it. "Come on, let's just try and find some dinner, eh? Guess Nana and Grandpa won't be seeing us tonight." I was bracing myself for whatever Mum would attempt to cook when there was a knock at the door, and a man in a suit came in with trays of amazing-looking food. We shamelessly gorged ourselves, and then Suitman came back to collect the dishes. I could get used to this, actually. It was getting on toward night by then. I sat on one of the beds and got out my scar cream. "Here, let me," Mum said. She sat with my leg in her lap and rubbed the cream in, taking her time about it. I saw her brow furrow a little bit as her fingers pressed in on the scar. It can't be a pleasant reminder for her. For me, it's just a big, unsightly scar on my leg that I'm horribly self-conscious about. Not much for shorts and skirts, is this girl? I mean, it's seriously ugly. It's pitted in the middle, and then there are slashes on either side with stitch marks. Dad says it'll likely keep fading as I get older. I keep rubbing in that cream every night because it's supposed to help minimize the scar, and hope springs eternal. My memories of the accident that left the scar are pretty fuzzy. I remember being cold. I remember wanting my mummy. I remember the stars above me, branches, and the wind in the trees. Then I remember Sherlock finding me. I heard his big, boomy voice, and I remember at first I thought I was dreaming it. He picked me up, and my leg hurt really bad, and I cried and cried because I was so glad to see him, and I hung on tight around his neck. He carried me out, and I remember Dad yelling my name. Then he was crying and holding me, and I was squished between him and Sherlock, and it was like a heavenly safe cave. Then there's just a lot of hospitals, and brightness, and pain. and Mummy sitting by my bedside. And the next clear memory I have is going home with Mum and Dad and getting carried everywhere for a while. We sat there on the big bed, my scar ritual complete. "Well, what now? Bit of telly," she said. I sat on one of the beds, folding my legs under me. "How about we just talk?" I said. I couldn't pass it up. My mother and I were locked in a room together with no danger of interruption. This was my big chance for straight answers. She eyed me knowingly. "Talk, huh?" She came to the bed and sat opposite me, mirroring my posture. "I bet I know what you want to talk about." "You do?" "Jeannie, you're 16 years old. You're almost an adult. You're frighteningly intelligent and you're deadly curious about everything. You've grown up in an unconventional family. I've seen you watching, trying to work things out. I know you've got questions."
"Yeah, Mum, I do."
"Your dad and I have talked about this. You're old enough to start hearing the real answers, so go ahead. Ask me whatever you like. I promise to tell you the truth." I was a bit taken aback. I hadn't expected her to just lay her cards on the table like that. It threw me off my game a little. I couldn't remember where I'd planned to start, so I just fell back on the question I'd asked Dad a few weeks ago. "Why haven't you ever gotten remarried?" She sighed and looked down at her hands. Mum wore a ring on her wedding finger, but it wasn't the ring Dad had given her. It was her grandmother's ring, a family heirloom. It did, however, give the impression that she was married.
"Because I've never found another man like your father," she said.
My heart sank.
"Oh, Mum, you're still in love with him?" I really hoped that wasn't it, because if it was, then I'd be in the uncomfortable position of wanting my dad to go back to her, while also wanting him to stay with Sherlock forever.
"That isn't what I said."
"Oh," I said, confused. "I don't get it."
She smiled.
"I love your father very much, Jeannie. He's, well, honestly, he's my best friend in the whole world, and I love him the way you love your best friend."
She thought for a moment.
"I was 36 when I met him. I'd never had a long-term relationship in my life. I was never the sort of woman who desperately wanted a man and babies and did whatever she had to do to get it. I had my work and my friends and family, and I dated on occasion, but it never lasted more than a few months. I was quite content to be single, and to remain so."
"But why?" I said. "You're fantastic! I can't imagine men not wanting to be with you."
"Thank you, sweetheart," she said, grinning. "But I'm not... Let's just say I have limitations. Serious ones. Ones that men are always willing to overlook at first blush, but can't handle long term."
"What do you mean, limitations?" I couldn't imagine my mother having some kind of emotional handicap so severe that it doomed her to solitude.
"Is it a..."
I cleared my throat and blushed. But hey, if this was a grown-up conversation, it was going to be one.
"Is it a sex thing?"
"No, it isn't a sex thing."
"What then?"
She sighed deeply.
"Jeannie, you must allow me to keep some measure of privacy."
I grit my teeth, but let that go. "All right, so you had this mysterious limitation, and somehow Dad was the only one who could handle it, and now you don't think you'd be able to find another man who could."
"Exactly."
That's horrible."
"It's not so horrible. I rather love my life, actually. I have you, and your father, and yes, even Sherlock. I love what I do, and I'm near my family." She gave me a wry smile. "And if my future were to possibly involve a date with a certain handsome police inspector, well, that might be acceptable too."
I grinned. "Brilliant." She leaned forward a bit. "So, we've got that out of the way. Why don't you ask me what you really want to ask me?"
I nodded.
Mum, when did you suspect that Dad was, well, in love with Sherlock?
Yeah.
She scooted closer and took my hands.
This is the part I'm not sure you're going to want to hear.
Why not?
I'm...
She looked me in the eyes. I don't want you to think less of me or your father.
I won't. Come on, Mum. I know that you and Dad are people, like flesh and blood people. Don't we all have bits and bobs that aren't so shiny?
She laughed. Artistically phrased as always. All right, then. You want to know when I suspected that Dad was in love with Sherlock? I nodded.
Well, I didn't suspect love. I knew.
I knew on the day you were born. I knew the day I married him. I knew on our very first date. My face went slack.
All that time? You knew all that time?
Yes. And just like that, I knew the truth. Her truth.
But I can't write it down tonight. I'm so tired, I think I'm going to pass out.
I'll have all day tomorrow to write about the rest of our talk. And I'm getting worried again about Dad and Sherlock, because we were hoping we'd have a message from them, and so far, nothing.
I need sleep.
Mum's already asleep in one of the beds.
I don't care if I'm a bit old for it. I think I'm going to curl up next to my mummy
and hope I don't dream about dead fathers. End of entry. To comment or to find previous blog entries, visit eugeniawatson.dreamwith.org. See you next time.